All right, so I'm going to start. I'm going to start because I won't finish this today, and I'll finish it next week. The title of the sermon is Begging Jesus. Begging Jesus. Mark chapter 5 is our text, starting in verse 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea. And well, let me say this first, that Jesus had told his disciples to get into the boat and go to the other side of the sea. So he specifically instructed his disciples to go to the other side so that this visit was initiated by Jesus. And Jesus goes nowhere without a specific purpose. He goes nowhere. So he specified this, and this account of what happened was initiated by him. So they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. In Matthew's gospel, it says two men met him. Unclean means an evil spirit, simply an evil spirit. The country of the Gadarenes, they believe, was a place that was in Jewish territory, but was occupied primarily by Gentiles. The scripture says this man had his dwelling in verse 3. He had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him. No one could bind him. Jesus comes to people's lives to address what no one else has been able to address. No one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. Jesus comes into lives to do what no one else can do. Verse 5 says, and always night and day, and always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. So tormented by the demons was this man that he sought relief by screaming and cutting. And make no mistake about it, we like to think we all civilized and we further along than everybody else. But there are plenty of people who do this today. I'm in some of their houses while I'm cleaning carpet sometimes. Yeah. I meet them all. Amen. Screaming and cutting himself. Says, and always, always. What's interesting about that always night and day is when something is going on in your life, and it can be terrible, it can be horrible, it can be traumatic, but when it's going on all the time, people get used to it. People get used to it. You know, where, you know, you'll start out, you see someone, it's like, I remember being a young man, and you would run into meet people, and they would be in a bad way, either at the after school, the gymnasium had all kinds of teams running up there playing ball, pool, all this type of thing. And you see someone, you know they're in a rough situation. And when you first see them, you're like, oh my goodness, we need to do something to help that person. But you know, the next day came, and the next day, and then 3-4 months later, you're like, oh, that's just so and so. That's just where he is. And you get used to it. It becomes a daily thing with you. You don't really pay it much attention. Well, just imagine this man, always, night and day. After a while, you know, you just say to yourself, okay, well, especially, you know, when you can't do anything about it. Luke's gospel tells us that he had demons for a long time. For a long time. So the Gadarenes were used to this man, even in his demonic state. Verse 6 reads, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. And so we see, obviously, the man in whom the demons reside runs and worships Jesus. That's correct, because the response of every creature to its creator is to worship him. Right? And so, but then the demons began to speak and say, "What have I to do with you, Jesus?" They call Jesus by his name because they know who he is. Now, what's interesting here is that the demons know who Jesus is, but the Gadarenes don't know who Jesus is. And that's the whole purpose why Jesus came, so that the Gadarene community would know who he is. So the demons name Jesus and ask him, even want him to swear. In another account, they say, "We adjure you by the Most High God," even wanting Jesus to swear not to torment. Can you imagine that? I believe it's in Luke or Matthew's account. They say, "I implore you, I beg you, I plead with you by God that you do not torment me." Acts 10:38 reads how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And so Jesus was there to deliver that man who was oppressed by demons. 1 John 3:8 says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And the Jesus that is in you is the same Jesus that was here in Mark chapter 5. And when you get around a demon, the Jesus in you, you just have to listen and say, "Lord, are you, is this you? Is this what you telling me to do?" Because he'll deal with a demon. And he's living in you, which means he's going to work through you. And so Jesus is there to reveal himself to the Gadarenes, but he's going to do it in a way that really going to set some people in not feeling too good about the situation. He's going to do it in a way that's not going to sit well. That goes with Isaiah 55. His ways are not our ways. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So we know that Jesus, based upon the two scriptures I just read, that Jesus had and has complete authority over demons. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spoke to the disciples, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore, preach the gospel to every nation." Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." So Jesus gave his disciples power to cast out demons. You a disciple of Jesus? Mm-hmm. Mark 16:15 says, "He who believeth on me and is baptized shall be saved," right? "And he will lay his hands upon the sick." He'll cast out devils. Cast out devils. I remember being in a prayer meeting and praying over a woman one night, and a demon left her. So the demons, also acknowledging Jesus' complete and utter authority over them, want Jesus to promise not to torment them. Right? So they said to him, "Please," pleading with him, "do not torment me or us." Now, make no mistake, Jesus will cause great harm and torture to come to demons at the right time. That wasn't the right time. They were specifically talking about, if you read Luke's account in Luke 8:31, and they begged him that he would not command them to go into the abyss. That's what they were talking about when they said, "Please do not torment us." I believe it's in Matthew's account said, "Are you here to torment us before the time?" In other words, the demons know that they have a short time. And then when that time's up, it's over. And hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for humans. But God created it to punish spirits, which I can't imagine how horrible that's going to be. with a body that will never, that can never die. And so in verse 8, we read, they said, please do not torment us. Verse 8 says, for he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Verse 10, also he, the man, and by extension, the demon in the man, the demons in the man, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Again, that coincides with the abyss. Out of the country would be into the abyss. These demons wanted to stay where they were. Why? Well, demons like the home that they live in. If they're living in somebody, if they're staying in somebody, it's because they like it. Demons are territorial. The territory that they have, they want to keep. They like it. But Jesus came all the way from the other side of the sea to the country of the Gadarenes to do exactly the opposite of what they wanted. He's like, no, I'm not here. He told the demons, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And the spirit begged him earnestly and said, please don't send us out of the country or into eternal judgment. Why would they have done that? Well, Matthew 12, Jesus teaching in verse 43 said, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, here's the reason why they were saying, please don't send us out. We want to stay in this man. Don't send us out. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. In other words, demons find rest in a human host. They find rest in a human host. You say, how? Don't ask me. I don't know. I just know what the scripture says. Amen. When they get in someone, whatever the portal, whatever way, whatever right they have to be there, they like it. And they don't want to relinquish it. They don't want to give it up. So when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house. He called it my house. I will return to my house, from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty and swept and put in order. Now, what's interesting here is verse 10. It says he begged him. So there are going to be three different times people beg Jesus in this passage of scripture. First, it was the demon in the man. He begged him. The word in the Greek is to invite or to invoke, to call near, to plead. In the King James Version, it's translated beseech, desire, to give, to entreat, to pray, to desire earnestly. So these demons are begging Jesus. You know, we have panhandlers almost on every corner in Fairfax County these days. And, you know, most of them, when they first got there, they just stand there with a sign. But now I'm seeing people, hey, Nick, I saw a guy take his sign, walk up to people's car, put it in their face. One guy looked at me like, hey, man, look at my sign. You see I'm in trouble, help me. I'm looking at him like, bruh, look here. Even the scripture says God loves a cheerful giver. God even says, listen, if you don't want to give it, I don't want it. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. It's, you know, and so we're not to give out of compulsion. That's a whole other message. But they're begging these days. They're begging. To beg means to ask someone urgently or fervently to do something. And let me interject also. I saw a guy at Braddock in 123 when he got done with his stuff, folded up his little sign, went over to the bushes, got out his little thing, fired it up, and drove off. I was like, I thought you didn't have any. One guy came out with he had his earphones on. He was smoking a cigarette, new kicks, everything. He's out there. And with his sign, I'm like, what is going on here? This is crazy. It's not that I don't want to give. I like to give to something that I know. To beg means to ask someone urgently and fervently to do something, to desperately and humbly request what you do not have, to recognize that someone has power to do for you what you cannot do for yourself, and to request it, to acknowledge that someone has greater power, access, or ability than you. So these demons are asking Jesus not to send them out of the country. Verse 11 reads, "Now there was a large herd of swine feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, 'Send us into the swine that we may enter them.' And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And we're told in commentaries not to conflate that 2,000 demons, 2,000 pigs does not mean that there were 2,000 demons in the man. We understand that. But there were about 2,000 of these swine, these pigs, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea." So they come out of the man, and typically in the scriptures, they would come out violently. They would thrash about, and sometimes a person would fall over like they were dead. But they came out of the man and into the swine. What's interesting is the Bible says this was an unclean spirit. Unclean spirit came out and went into an unclean animal. Because a swine, according to Leviticus chapter 7, was unclean. So the unclean spirit came out and went into an unclean animal. And one has to wonder if sometimes that an unclean life doesn't give way to an unclean spirit. In other words, sometimes how people live can open up the door to a spirit coming into their life or into their space and influencing them. We see it in the Old Testament when Samuel, in 1 Samuel rather, chapter 15, when God commanded Saul to go kill the Amalekites, and Saul didn't do it. He spared some of the sheep and everything. And when Samuel came up, he says, "Hey, I did what God told me to do." And Samuel said, no, you didn't. He said, "Why come out here, all of these animals? What you supposed to kill them?" And Saul said, "No, we kept the best to offer to the Lord." And that's when we have that wonderful, you know, we quoted so many times that he said, you know, is sacrifice better than obedience? Samuel said to Saul. He says, no, obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Saul had his world rocked because he disobeyed the Lord, because he was unclean in how he approached the Lord with his life. It wasn't long. Matter of fact, it was the very next chapter, because that happened in 1 Samuel 15. In 1 Samuel 16, God tells Samuel, he says, "Fill your horn with oil. I provided for myself a king. Go anoint me the man I'm telling you of." And the Bible says God, that Samuel went and anointed David king over Israel. And this is what happened. It said, "From that day forth, the Spirit of the Lord left Saul and came on David." But guess what happened to Saul? An evil spirit from the Lord troubled Saul. I said, oh my goodness, there it is. There it is right there in the Old Testament. One who bore the spirit, the anointing of God, but because he rejected God, because he disobeyed God, and he did it repeatedly and cavalierly. I mean, he did it with no regard. 1 Samuel 16, 14, "But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him." We see it happen also in the New Testament. Amen. You know, if I show you in the old, I got to show you in the new. And one of Jesus' disciples, you remember it? On the night that he was betrayed, Judas Iscariot, you know, Jesus said, "All of you going to betray me this night." He said, "You're eating my bread. You've lifted up your heel against me." He said, "One of you shall betray me this night." And they said, "Who, Lord, who?" He said, "It's the one to whom I give the salt after I have dipped it." He dipped it and he gave it to Judas. And the Bible says when he gave it to Judas, Satan entered him. I was like, oh, my God. not a demon, not a devil, Satan entered Judas. Oh, Lord Jesus. What? You say, how did Satan enter Judas? When Judas did what he did, when he chose to betray Jesus, when he chose to betray Jesus, Jesus handed him over. That's John 13:27. Where after the piece of bread, Satan entered him, and Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. So the demons could only go where Jesus gave them permission to go. And since Jesus was casting them out of a man, they didn't seek to go into another man. Nor do I think Jesus would allow them to go to another man. That's why they said, please let us go into the pigs. Don't send us back to the abyss. Don't send us to the abyss. Let us go into the pigs. Let us go into the swine. So Jesus gave them permission. Gave permission for the demons to enter the swine, demonstrating, because we did I read yet where they ran down a steep place and perished? I think I just read that. Where they ran down, the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. And some person said, Jesus destroyed animals? Well, now, how you reading that? No, Jesus gave permission for the demons to go into the swine. The demons drove the swine into the sea. Say, did Jesus know that they were going to drive them into the sea? Well, I would imagine Jesus knew a lot. He knew all things that were going to happen to him. But even if he did know that they were going to drown in the sea, them being unclean, and Jesus making an example that a human life is worth 2,000 pigs. Hey, I think y'all got a yelp. I got a amen. Yeah, you better say, look. If I'm on the hook and there's 2,000 pigs, y'all better choose me over those pigs. I tell you what, you better choose me, because if you don't, when I get loose, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you. Amen. Come on, church. Come on. Yeah, no, Jesus is demonstrating that a human life is worth that much. But people say, but that's somebody's vocation. They were making money. I get it. I love bacon, sausage, ham. I love it all. Lord, don't get me started. Amen. Look here. But the human lives are greater than that of the animals. And in this case, someone's vocation, right? And in this case, further, the destruction of someone's property. Some people say, well, how could you? Well, hold on. I just saw a whole building in Florida come down. And you know why it came down? Because apparently people were given, they were inspecting the building, telling them, hey, y'all need to fix this. But guess what? And let's get this, church. When you don't do your job, and we can take it from the smallest. I'm cleaning carpet. If I don't get that spot out, well, I'm not gonna hurt anybody. Yeah, but let's blow it up though. Blow it up. When someone else doesn't do their job, when the condo board doesn't listen to the inspector or the whoever else was to hold their feet to the fire, do your job and take care of this. People's lives are lost. People's lives were lost. Right? And now here, Jesus, this case, he allowed property to be destroyed. Well, look, hey, it's one thing when it's somebody else's property, but you can do whatever you want to with your own property. And last time I checked, everything belongs to Jesus. Look, even my next breath. My next breath belongs to Jesus. And if you think you can get all up in your feelings, get big bag and ugly about it, try to say something to him when he takes your next breath away. Try. You. No, not happening. You can be big and bad, but ow. Yeah, hey, look here. That old Darth Vader stuff, that is not true. That's baloney. No, Jesus. Look. He is our next breath. I mean, if he doesn't say it, it doesn't happen. If he doesn't allow it, it doesn't happen. And this is why we're thankful every day. When you wake up, when your eyes crack open in the morning, woo, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I bless the Lord, oh, my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Look here, from the moment of consciousness, you open up your eyes. You better know God did it. God did it. What happened to those who didn't open up their eyes? Went to sleep. Never knew. That was the last night they were going to sleep. What? Well, come on now. Who wakes you up every morning? Do you know who wakes you up every morning? Look, I don't know what anybody else say, but I got a good idea who wakes me up every morning. Same one who laid me down at night. David said, I lay me down in peace and sleep because thou, Lord, causes me to dwell in safety. Psalm 3. Or was it Psalm 4? I can't remember. Anyhow. God is the one. Hey, I might make it through this, church. Look here. I think I might make it through this. So the demons could express themselves through the man, so they let him live. Since they couldn't express themselves through the swine, they drove them into the sea. But make no mistake, the demons also would want to kill this man. Right? Verse 14, we read, so those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. They told it in the city and in the country. What are they telling people? Come out, look at Jesus. He's going to heal you. Oh, no, that's not what they said. They said, yay, y'all need to come out here in the city and in the country. This man, just all these pigs ran into the sea because that's what they would have cared about. It's like living in America. What people care about? How much money is it going to cost? How much money am I losing? But people going to die. Oh, I ain't about to worry about that. How much money am I going to lose? Hello? Hello? So they went and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and who had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. They were afraid. Now, why were they afraid? Well, we said earlier, when things were going about as normal, they were fine. What was normal? A demon-possessed man in the tombs screaming and cutting himself with stones. That's what they used to. Oh, we good. We good. Everybody used to that. We know what's up with him. We don't bother him. That's him. Leave him alone. We used to that. That's normal. But when the man's sitting and clothed in his right mind, the people are like, oh my goodness. I don't know what to do. Well, what type of response is that? Sometimes we can have some really crazy, quote unquote, normal. Because what was normal for them was absolutely tragic for this man. Filled with demons. But the people were fine with normal. They were fine. It's like this country and every other country on the planet. There's stuff going on in this nation. There's stuff going on in our nations that are totally tore up. It's insanity. But you know, because we've been at it so long, we're comfortable and it's our normal. And that's why God comes along and says, I'm going to shake things up. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And I'm going to shake it up. And that's when people are like, what's going on? What's going on? Oh, don't worry. So it says they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been possessed with the demon and about the swine. And listen to verse 17, the second time people begged Jesus. First was the demons. Verse 17, and they began to plead with him to depart from their region. They began to beg Jesus to leave. The demons begged him, don't send us out. The people begged him, go, get out. We scared of you. Imagine that. Imagine that. You say, well, how could people do that? Hold on. People do that here in America today. People do it today. Come on. Everywhere that's human flesh, it goes on. Oh, my goodness. And so, my Lord, we need our normal to be changed. We need it. And not to plead for Jesus to go. There are some things in our lives that we should never be comfortable with or consider normal. When Jesus comes to set people free, even if it means upsetting and upending our normal, we need to see it happen. Let me also say this. Don't be discouraged when some people come to Jesus and don't respond to him. Because that's what happened here. These people came to Jesus and they did not respond to him. Matter of fact, not only did they not respond, they said, oh, no, you need to go. Well, Jesus answered the first request of the demons. They said, permit us to go into the pigs. Jesus said, go. These people came to Jesus and said, please depart from our region. What did Jesus do? Got into a boat. He got into a boat. What does that say about Jesus? Jesus will not thrust himself on you. He will not force relationship with you because relationship cannot, by definition, be forced. Cannot be. Hello? And so when they began to plead with him, same word in the Greek, same word that the demons used, they begged him to leave. Jesus said, okay. When seeing someone set free, coherent and in their right mind scares you, you aren't ready for Jesus. Something wrong with you. Hello. Instead of praising Jesus that a man who no one could help was set free from demons, these people beg Jesus to leave them alone. I read the scripture. I don't have to understand it all, but I look at that. I'm like, what was going on in these people? What was going on in these people? Was it because of the money that they lost? That was the first thought because, you know, money. Whoo, man, people do things for money that's just, God help us. Did these people value things over their fellow man? Well, we said earlier, you know, they were used to him, so let him go. We're going to go on with our lives, do what we're going to do. So Jesus does not force relationship upon any people. He chooses us for relationship with him just as he did this man. Jesus chose this man for relationship with himself. Only people who do not know Jesus ask him to leave them alone. Anybody that knows Jesus and said, oh, my God, Lord, I need you today. Father, have mercy upon me, I pray. It's me, oh, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. God, go look here. Look. I don't know, but trust Jesus with everything. I mean everything. So I've been cleaning carpet for over 30 years now. I got a customer who, when my children were babies, I was cleaning her carpet, and she would always ask me. But so I went to her house, her and her husband's house, and about a week ago, and clean. They have this big old nice wool rug, white as your dress, on their master bedroom floor. I've been cleaning this rug for probably 15, 20 years. I go in, clean this rug, go on about my business. I'm done. Hey, got the check. Thank you. See you next time. Gone. A couple days later, I get a call. Pat, my rug turned brown. I think you ruined my rug. And I said, oh, Sharebeke. Sorry. But I was like, hey, whoa, Father. See, now, and I said, when trouble comes, first thing I said, Father, I don't know what happened, but this isn't right. I've been cleaning this rug for 15 years. I did the same thing that I did on every other time. And she said, I think it's ruined. And I mean, this is a big rug. This rug is like 20 feet by. It's a huge rug, which means, hey. And so I prayed because... Because if you know Jesus, one thing you know is this, you need him more than you need your next breath. And so, what was it? Friday? What's today? Sunday. So Friday, I go up in there with my chemicals, and they're looking at me. They're like, oh, look at it. It's all terrible. And I looked at the man. I said, calm down. Yeah, it's going to be all right. That's That's different. That's over here. That's, I got that. I'm understanding. She's like, oh, Pat, what are we going to do? And I said, just hold on. Then they left. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Amen. And I started spraying my chemical down. Amen. Chemicals plus prayer. Hey, look here. Chemicals plus prayer. Amen. And like 15 minutes later, there's one part of the rug start looking like your dress again. It's time I said, Hey. And I kept treating. And about 30 minutes or so later, I said, now, just shut the door. Leave it alone. Just don't touch it. Leave it alone. I may have to come back and do some more. But my point in sharing that was simply this. We need Jesus. I need Jesus. And listen. Because you are his child, if it means something to you, if it means something to you, hello, it means something to him. He said, you know, Jesus said, not one sparrow falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. If he so clothed the grass, and if he provides for the sparrows, of how much more value are you than a sparrow? Listen, not just everything you say, every whim of a thought that crosses your heart, oh my God, everything he hears. He is. You are his daughter. You are his son. He loves you infinitely, and he knows infinite. He knows all about you, and there's nothing that crosses your heart that he doesn't know about. And if it means something to you, he has it, because you're the apple of his eye. And this is why you can go to him with everything. It's why in 30 years of cleaning carpet, if I told you how many times I was downstairs in the basement sweating, cleaning a sectional, and the thought ran across my mind, and I'm telling you legit, how many times a thought crossed my mind, so it would be nice to have something to drink, and here come the woman, as if the thought just, I didn't say it, I didn't pray it, it just ran across my mind. A woman turned the corner while I'm thinking it. Thought you might like something to drink. And I said, Father, can nobody tell me you not real? Can nobody tell me? Because the Bible says he gives you the desires of your heart. In other words, he'll put it in there and then he'll fulfill it. Just to show you who I am. Look here. I cannot tell you how many times that has happened. Where am I? Okay, well, we're coming to the end of this. All right. So, if you beg Jesus to leave you alone, he will. But, not without a witness. Not without a witness. Verse 18, Mark 5, 18. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed, here's the third time, the third occasion. He who had been demon possessed begged him. So the demons begged him. The people of Gadara begged him. This third time, the man who was demon possessed begged him, same word in the Greek, that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him. Let that sink in. What are you begging Jesus for? This man begged him, Jesus, I want to be with you. Jesus permitted the demons to go into the swine. The people begged him to leave. He got into the boat. But when this man begged him to be with him, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends. Some of us need to go home. Who am I talking to? Some of us, look, we begging to go with Jesus. Listen, we see this in Paul's life. Philippians chapter 1. Paul says, or chapter 2, he says, I'm in a strait betwixt two, desiring to be with Jesus, which is far better. But to be with you is more needful. Therefore, I know that God's going to deliver me, and I'm going to continue on so that your faith could be increased. Paul had a desire to go be with Jesus, but he said, it's more needful for me to be with you. Therefore, the Lord's going to keep me with you. That's what's happening here. This demon-possessed man says, Jesus, I want to be with you. But Jesus said, no, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, let me tell you something. So people, I've had people say over the years, you know, well, I'm not a preacher. Jesus ain't, but you ain't a preacher because Jesus didn't make you a preacher because Jesus doesn't need a preacher out of you. Let me tell you what he needs. Let me tell you what everyone can do. Every last person that knows Jesus, you can go tell somebody what the Lord has done for you. And let me help you with this. You can tell it the way nobody else can tell it. Because can't nobody tell what Jesus has done for you the way you can. Look here. Look here. So he sent him home. He said, go home to your friends, to your family, and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. And boy, there's no greater joy. Man, you meet somebody, you're sitting there telling them all the good things that God has done for you. And they're sitting there drinking all that. Listen, and why are you telling them? God helping you tell them. Because you're never alone. You're never by yourself. God's helping you. So tell them what great things he has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. All the people marveled. Hold on, what people? The people that said, Jesus, leave. Jesus knew that this convert of mine is going to go tell them how good I've been to them, and they're not going to be Jesus, leave. They're going to be, they're marveling over what Jesus had done in their life. And so when you and I share with people, We may not be called to preach on the streets or be an evangelist or have a miracle ministry. People want all these things. I don't need any of it. I don't need any of it. You know what God gave everybody? He gave us a mouth to share with, to share the good news. So Jesus gave the demons what they selfishly begged him for, and he used it for his own purposes. Because when the swine perished, the demons had to go, and they had no place to inhabit. So Jesus, in the end, he cast them out, and they had no host. Jesus gave the Gadarenes what they fearfully begged him for, and he used that for his own purposes. However, Jesus did not give the new convert what he longingly begged for. How does that work? By sending the new convert home, Jesus left an undeniable witness of his power and compassion in the Gadarene community. And so the very people who told him to leave were the very people who marveled at what Jesus did in this man's life just at a later time. And that's why we don't get discouraged when we share Jesus with people and they like, well, not right now, you know, and you be like, not right now. And then later on you find out, oh, that person born again in the church, life changed, on and on and on. Why? Because the timing is up to Jesus. And even when these people lied, when they said leave, just said, okay, I'm going to leave, but not without leaving a witness. Not without leaving a witness. Now, why are you and I here? Where Jesus at? Jesus left us here for what? To be a witness. To be a witness. To tell somebody. You say, I can't quote scripture. Jesus didn't say you had to quote scripture. Read the book. He said, go tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. That's it. Amen. So what was more needful than the convert being with Jesus was for the convert to be with others. What was more needful for the convert than being with Jesus was for the convert to be with others, declaring the goodness of God. Sometimes we're begging for Jesus to get us out of where we are, put us someplace else. Jesus said, no, I have plans for you right here, right here. And so let me work. Let me work. Let's stand. Amen, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, oh God, for your work in us. We thank you that we are never alone, for you have promised us never to leave us nor to forsake us. Oh God, let our hearts wrap itself around that with faith, oh God, knowing, oh God, Lord, that you are forever with us, Lord, even until the end of the age. Indwelt by your holy presence, O God, knowing the voice of our shepherd, O God, living daily and walking daily in the communion of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we pray, Lord, that our lives would, Lord, again be turned over to you today. Lord, that you would have, your word would have free course in us, and that the transformation, Lord, of us into your very image and likeness would continue by the power of the Spirit of God living within us. Have your way, O God. Oh, yes, Lord, magnify your Son. Glorify your Son, the Lord Jesus. Glorify yourself in glorifying and lifting up your precious Son, Jesus, Lord, in all the earth, O God. Lord, and may your kingdom come. May your will be done and realized, O God. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, we ask in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. God bless you real good.